in exchange for your soul.
Bill Monroe on League of Pissed Off Voters Radio with What Would You Give in Exchange for Your Soul? And, yeah, next Tuesday would have been Bill Monroe's 100th birthday, so next Tuesday, raise a glass for Bill Monroe, the godfather of bluegrass music. Before that was Otis Redding with Good to Me, and this is League of Pissed Off Voters Radio every Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., talking about local San Francisco politics and culture. And joined now on the phone by independent journalist David Morse. Hey, David, can you hear me?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, thanks a lot for joining us. So,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for jumping on short notice. So you write for Indie Media, is that right?
Yes, yes. That's the Bay Area Independent Media Center at indiebay.org. I've been reporting for them since maybe early 2004, something like that.
Okay. And you spent a lot of time covering BART issues, is that right?
Yeah, I have over the last 2 years. I covered the very first demonstration on January 7th, 2009, and just kind of dove into it from there when I saw, you know, I wasn't happy with a lot of the corporate coverage that was out there.
Right. And so you were at the protest yesterday at the Powell Street station, right?
Yes, I was. Yeah, yeah. I was covering the demonstration, and I was arrested. I was put out by Deputy Chief Dan Hartley for arrest. And it was very surprising to me because he knows me very well. He knows what I do. I mean, I can understand he's not happy with what I do, but, you know, he knows I'm a journalist. And, I was the first one arrested yesterday. He pointed me out to a line of riot cops behind him. The first cop behind him grabbed me. Dan and I, we usually, have a little short conversation at demos sometimes. He's seen me at, 100 different board meetings or subcommittee meetings. You know, I go to the most boring meetings sometimes and record them just so that
right.
There's some sort of public record out there and people can know what's going on with the agency.
Well, I'm sorry, so you cut out there for a second. Who is it? It was a deputy chief at...
Dan Hartwig.
Uh-huh. And who is he?
I'm sorry?
And who is he? He's with the BART police?
Yeah, he's the deputy chief of the BART police department. He was a commander. I think he was somewhat recently, maybe in the last year, promoted to deputy chief.
Wow. And so he specifically pointed you out to the cops and for arrest?
Yeah, but the demonstrators were just kind of in a circle in the free area where they were saying for the last month that that's the acceptable area to have free speech. There's no free speech on the platform, they've been saying, which, is wrong.
Right.
They've been saying. So demonstrators were just marching around and chanting the free area, the non-paid area, the free speech area. And then they just closed in without a dispersal order and detained people. Dan Hartwig assembled a line of maybe five or six riot police behind him and just sort of moved briskly into the circle and just started pointing people out. He was like, him. And every time he'd point somebody out, the cop, next in line behind him would grab that person and pull him out of the circle for arrest. And I was the first one he pointed out. I immediately objected to him. I was like, what are you doing, Dan? You know who I am, but then he was already moving on, going him to other people. And
wow.
So I was pulled out by this officer, and I was like, I'm a journalist. You guys aren't supposed to be doing this. The arresting officer, as soon as they pulled me into a back office, I had already had handcuffs on. He's like, you're David, right? That's the name I published on Indie Day, D-A-V-E space ID, David.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. So, he knows who I am. The BART police know who I am. I'm on relatively friendly terms with a number of the BART board directors. For instance, last Friday, I was at their new police civilian review board. That's supposed to be their police oversight board that was set up after the murder of Oscar Grant. And a board... the full BART board president, Bob Franklin, was there, and he told me, I read everything you write about BART on Indie Bay. I'm sure he's not happy about it, but, he reads it, so.
Right, right.
They all know clearly who I am.
Wow, so this is, seems like a big change from previous protests. Have you seen any other protests? It seems like, were there other times when media have been brought in or been arrested?
Not that I'm aware of. Not with BART police. One of the anonymous demos, maybe it was the 29th, there was people marching on the street, and there was a kettle in front of the San Francisco Public Library, where, you know, journalists and, you know, anybody that was around, you know, mostly it was people on the sidewalk already, but they just sort of kettled everybody. And then, you know, one by one, they checked press credentials and let people go.
Right.
But this is the first time I've seen BART do that. They made more arrests yesterday than they've ever made. You know, and I mean, there's been protests in the past where people were holding it in train doors and so forth. And this one, basically, that people were just expressing their free speech rights exactly where BART said they were supposed to be doing it. There was no dispersal order. They did some strange things last night, too, where they cited some of the big corporate media people, like Vivian Ho from The Chronicle.
Hmm.
She barely writes about it in her article today, you know, just says they were briefly detained. Also, they ordered, they directed or misinformed SFPD. And SFPD, so they released the people that had San Francisco Police Department press passes.
Right.
I did not have one of those. But then SFPD, who was down in the station as well, took those press passes from the journalist. So, you know, they couldn't come back in, they couldn't report. I've talked to a couple of journalists today, and nobody's ever heard of anything like that. And I think that most of them probably got their passes back today, but I think it's a little bit of an embarrassment for SFPD, because BART police apparently told them to take the press passes of people who had violated the law.
Huh.
You know, and there was no violation of the law, so there's some strange stuff going on there, and, you know, reporters aren't happy with BART. You know, SFPD, I don't think, is happy about that. It's embarrassing to them. So it's kind of a mess. They're sort of losing their minds about these protests. They don't know what to do.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And I heard that there was some problem with getting comment from the official BART spokesman. I don't know if that was yesterday or today, where the BART spokesman basically told the media that he was going off of duty, and there was not going to be any word, and for them to wait for a press conference. I don't know if you have any information on that, or what your relationship is like with them.
I know that they had a press conference last night, and they actually posted it to their BART TV, you know, web channel on YouTube.
Hmm.
And I'm kind of almost surprised they put it up, because it's a really embarrassing one. They got asked really hard questions. Jim Allison, one of their press spokespeople, and Dan Hartwig, the deputy chief who pointed me out, did the press conference, and they both looked kind of sweaty and really nervous and were really tense with the reporters. You know, at one point, Dan Hartwig is like, get back, get back, get back. You know, and he's giving this order to journalists like he's, you know, dealing with some sort of, I don't know, terrorist threat or something, or, you know, just completely unruly protesters.
Right.
They can't really distinguish between the two.
Huh.
I did talk to somebody who tried to speak with Jim Allison last night, and she, as a reporter, and she told me that he basically wouldn't answer any questions. He said, we already answered questions at the press conference, so you just have to go to BART TV and see that press conference. And he wouldn't answer her questions.
Really, right.
She was pressing him about the lack of a dispersal order before they just swooped in and encircled about 30 people, 40 people.
Hmm.
A third of whom were probably journalists.
Wow. That's sounds like a pretty surreal scene. And, yeah, I think it does definitely sounds like BART is kind of losing their shit a little bit on this whole thing.
They definitely are. They keep upping the ante. They don't know what to do. You know, they're a public transit agency, and, it's a vulnerability for them. They don't know what to do. They refuse to make changes that, you know, that the community has been demanding for years. And I don't know, they're just at wit's end, and they operate as if, you know, they're their own country. They're not accountable to the U.S. Constitution. You know, and they're just doing what they want. They're making it up as they go along.
Yeah, pretty frightening. And do you get any kind of sense of where the leadership is coming on these things for the police or for the media relations?
Well, I mean, Bob Franklin has been making a number of statements around, you know, we need to go to Sacramento and up the fines for protesting, you know, to discourage protesters because they're getting off too easy. But really, generally, the way BART runs, though, is the board, the elected board, is pretty ineffectual and not really a part of the day-to-day operations. Most of them are part-time.
Right.
The only one that's not part-time is the president of the board. And so they really just sort of rubber stamp things and sign off on the big important documents and decisions, purchasing decisions, things of that nature. Occasionally give direction, but it's really this sort of insular administrative staff that runs everything. And that's why you've got people like Lynton Johnson making embarrassing statements. You've got the general managers and the police chief that cover up for BART police violence. Because they're sort of on their own. There's not really accountability built in. And I think that's part of the demand around disbanding BART police, because the way their structure is set up, there really can never be accountability.
Yeah, it does seem like a really troubling situation that just seems to be devolving in front of our eyes in the recent months. And this is League of Pissed Off Voters Radio. We're talking with independent journalist David Morris, who's been covering BART issues for a while and was detained by BART police at the protest yesterday at the Powell Street Station. So, David, what's sort of next on the BART calendar? Are there any other board meetings or committee hearings or protests coming up?
Well, they had a board meeting on Thursday. I did not attend that one because I don't think there was anything related to the police on the agenda, and that's the primary angle that I've been covering at BART.
Uh-huh.
So the next one would be 2 weeks from now. So it's not posted yet. So you have to check you can go to BART's website and click on About Us, I think, and then, find the meeting schedules and agendas.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll probably be in 2 weeks. And I can imagine that they're going to be getting an earful during the public comment in the next meeting. I believe that Anonymous has called for, they're calling their operation Op BART.
Right.
With the hashtag, and they communicate on Twitter about that. I believe they've called for another one on Monday.
Hmm.
But, being anonymous, it's a little hard to tell.
Right.
What exactly will happen. The one on Labor Day was rather small. So I don't know if that was because it was Labor Day or people are kind of not feeling the anonymous call demonstrations. I'm not sure.
Right.
So those are the only two things that I know that are coming up at this point. But, I'm sure there'll be more demonstrations.
Yeah, and then on the larger issue of sort of the BART police reform, I have to admit I haven't been following that as closely as I would have liked to. And you could give us sort of a rundown of what's happened with the new Citizen Oversight Board. And I know there is talk of state legislation about reforming the oversight or reforming the BART police. And is there anything in the works on police reform, or is the BART police basically set as they are these days?
Well, they did form the Citizen Review Board.
Right.
And there's also an independent auditor. The process for that whole thing was screwed up, and it's all documented you can go to indyvay.org, that's indyvay.org/Oscar Grant, all lowercase, and find a pretty incredible archive of coverage of the last 2.5 years of the struggle for justice at BART. Excuse me. And, so it was kind of fixed from the beginning. There was a subcommittee set up from the BART board, and the subcommittee was tasked with creating citizen oversight. But community members were involved, supposedly. They cared about, because this was set up in response to the murder of Oscar Grant, because they knew that their police force was out of control. There was the Noble report, the Myers-Navé report. And both of those documented just incredible things that you almost wouldn't even believe were going on in their police department.
Hmm.
And so during this process, it was supposed to be a public process with community involvement. These things just came and slipped into it out of nowhere. I think it was from Director Keller, and he suggested that it actually slipped into the language of it before it was even discussed, that one of the members on this supposed civilian review board would be appointed by the BART police unions.
Hmm.
That makes absolutely no sense to me. Why would you have a police appointee on this board,
Right,
so that they can have an... I mean, it makes sense for the police, but it doesn't make sense for police accountability.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the process, there was an agreed-to version that would have actually made it a pretty strong board, where the civilian review board would have been able to go above the head of the police chief, to go above the head of the general manager. Those are the people that really run the show, all the way up to the elected BART board with complaints and requests for discipline. That was what the community saw. That was what BART said they were going to do. The BART board voted on that version. But then there was a backroom deal made between BART and PORAC. They're the Police Officers Research Association of California. Okay. And basically, they stripped out the two or three sentences that they gave the Civilian Review Board, you know, essentially the power to discipline officers.
Of course.
So that pretty much stripped away the teeth. And then it was that version with the backroom deal with PORAC was passed on to the state legislature, who passed it because they knew BART needed some sort of oversight. So now they've got a pretty toothless operation. And they just came into being this year, and they're really moving pretty slowly. There's been almost nothing about the murder of Charles Hill. They did have a hearing on the, or a meeting about the shutting down of cell phones. Most of them seemed to think it was relatively okay. So at this point, I'm not really expecting anything from them.
Wow. So the oversight board thought that didn't have a problem with the cell phone service shut off in the BART station?
No, there was only one member who was objecting to that. The rest of them seemed to feel like, well, our job is, because the main elected BART board tasked them with looking at it and making recommendations, trying to get their involvement. And, most of them just were, you know, they would say, oh, yeah, okay, well, it's obvious it should really just be done in times of, like, you know, actual imminent threat of life, you know, loss of life to passengers or whomever. But then they kept coming back to, well, if people are disrupting trains, that's a pain in the butt. And so essentially they were, you know, they just rationalized what BART has already done, which is the same thing BART's legal counsel's done, is they have not backed down either. Huh. And nobody at BART has really admitted that yes, you know, they need to talk to the governing authorities, the CPUC in California and the FCC in the U.S.
Right.
In the U.S., who, you know, if they want to do something like that, they need permission from those governing bodies. But BART operates and somewhat seems to believe it's its own country and can do what it wants. You know, they can declare where the Constitution and the First Amendment apply and where they don't apply, and it's crazy.
Yeah, definitely a crazy situation. And didn't the BART Board of Directors, when they discussed the cell phone policy, come to wanted to see a more restrictive policy? I had heard that.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me? Hey, David, are you there? Oh, might have lost him. Hey, David.
Hello?
Hey, I think we got you back. I don't know if you can hear me. I think we got you. Oh, looks like we might have lost him. Hey, David, I don't know if you're there. Maybe we could...
Yeah, I can hear you now. I lost you there for about 30 seconds or something.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think we're back with you. So, I was asking about what the BART Board of Directors, what their position was on this cell phone service shutoff. I thought that they had come down on a sort of more restrictive policy on that, sort of closer to what the ACLU was asking for. Is that what happened?
More or less. You know, they kind of want to have it both ways. They want to say, okay, we all support the First Amendment, and, you know, we respect the law and understand that we need to contact the CPUC and the FCC if we do something like this. But at the same time, it's not really believable how much, you know, faith they put in operating within the law. They say they're going to make a more restrictive policy. The one suggested by the... by their general counsel basically says the same, justifies it in the same way. If there's a disruption of service, that, you know, BART service, apparently meaning, you know, people holding open train doors or something like that, that would justify it again.
Mm-hmm.
So more or less they're sticking by their guns. I don't expect, unless some outside authority holds them accountable, I don't really expect things to change a whole lot. I mean, I think they've learned their lesson, that they're not going to go doing this willy-nilly on, like, rumors of a protest again.
Right.
Like they did on August 11th. But, you know, what's in writing, they believe they can give themselves authority to do anything they want. And that's the problem.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, it's a pretty crazy world there underground at San Francisco. Yeah, to get that, like you said, it does seem to be their own entity down there, and without a whole lot of recourse. And I don't know, do you have any thoughts on what's the best way to bring some accountability to BART? Is it continued protests?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's with like some of the arrests and things, like my arrest, their mistreatment of journalists, their mistreatment of protesters who are exercising their free speech rights. Some of that's probably going to come down to civil suits and class actions.
Right, right.
Because I think they sort of know that. They're trying to do whatever they can do. They don't care if it's illegal or not to tamp down on this protest movement. And, they're taking the tack, well, we'll let the courts sort it out.
Hmm.
So, some of it might come down to that.
Right.
The protesters are demanding that the BART police force be disbanded. But that doesn't take a definitive shape as far as, would it be other police forces that step in and cover it? Does that mean just disarming the BART police force?
Right.
So that essentially they're security guards and, you just take away their guns, they would just have radios to call in other forces?
Mm-hmm.
If there was actually a danger to life or something of that nature.
Right.
And then there's just the general demand for accountability. And sometimes that's hard because two of the officers that were egregiously violent and rude and racist to Oscar Grant and his friends the night he was killed, they're back on the force. The officer who shot Charles Hill in about 24 seconds after having arrived on the platform,
right,
he has been hired by the FBI.
Right.
So they're sort of all in it a little bit together. And it doesn't look like, the two police officers that were involved at the Charles Hill shooting in Civic Center Station on July 3rd, they were cleared and back on duty in 3 days. So that sort of tells you where the agency looks at it. I don't know if the San Francisco DA is going to do anything. I don't really know what more they would have to investigate at this point, but it seems like they're just waiting for time to evolve or elapse, so that they can come out and just say, oh, everything's all good, don't worry about it.
Huh.
Because they've finished interviews with all the witnesses. They've got the little bit of videotape that BART said they had. And, I don't really understand what else there would be to investigate on that.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a pretty sobering picture you paint. And, I don't know, I guess we'll just have to see if the courts bring any accountability or if there's continued protests or action at the BART board. But it definitely seems like a runaway situation down there. But
it is, and activists and protesters are, they're putting themselves on the line. They're taking arrests in greater numbers now to try and force the agency to change its ways.
Yeah, and I don't know if you talk with any of the protesters or organizers, that it seemed like on Thursday there was this concerted effort to protest in a way that wasn't going to disrupt the commutes, that wasn't going to disrupt the station and create the backlash of people being upset at the protesters. And yet it sounds like BART willfully shut down the station anyway. Do you think that was an attempt to discredit the protesters? And what's the tactic next?
I think part of it is A, to just keep trying new approaches, and to just keep testing BART.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is, to sort of put the onus back onto BART, because in July, July 11th, demonstrators were, holding open doors on trains and delaying trains.
Right, right.
But through all the anonymous protests in August, nobody was really doing that. It was all just about, free speech and being able to speak up on a platform and hold a protest sign on a platform.
Yeah.
So I forgot where I was going. I apologize.
Yeah, I guess we're talking about how the protesters react to BART.
It's just sort of also they're just like testing new ground. BART says, okay, you can speak here. And they had shut down all these stations throughout August, basically just to squelch free speech.
Right.
And I think there's also an ulterior motive where BART is deliberately trying to upset commuters, and they're saying it's the protesters' fault. It's the protesters' fault. We had to close the station because of safety reasons. There were no safety concerns. So yeah, so Bart's been trying to pit the passengers against the protesters, you know, to sort of to take the heat off of themselves.
Yeah.
And I think this was an attempt to try and mix that up a little bit and to put the onus back on Bart, because everybody was protesting exactly where Bart said the free speech zone was, and they went and shut down the station anyway.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, pretty crazy scene all around, and it sounds like this thing isn't going away anywhere anytime soon. So
I don't think so. There's some really committed activists who are not going to give up on this.
Yeah. Well, David, thanks a lot for joining us and all the insight on this. It's been really helpful to get a handle on the situation.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and if people want to check out your writing on IndieBay, is there a place they can go to? Do you have a website or a directory?
Well, you can find the archive on BART specifically at IndieBay.org/OscarGrant, all lowercase.
Okay.
And then otherwise, just check the Newswire.
Right.
I probably put up. On busy weeks, I might put up 3 or 4 posts under the Gnome de Plume Dave id. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I might go a week or more without publishing anything. But, yeah, just check the news wires and check out the site. And it's an open publishing site, so anybody can post to it. And there's a lot of great coverage that comes in from other people as well.
Okay, sounds good. So, yeah, that's indiebay.org/OscarGrant, all one word. And, yeah, thanks a lot, David. Maybe we'll get
you.
I lost you
again, didn't I?
Oh, well, I think I will. We can still hear you if we lost you, but yeah, I guess. Are you there, David? Well, looks like we lost him. But yeah, anyway, David Morse, independent journalist with IndieBay.org, and thanks a lot for your insight, and maybe we'll get in touch with you again down the line. This is League of Pissed Off Voters Radio every Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Mutiny Radio. I'm DJ Spider with you here on until the 8 o'clock hour. Going to take a break from all this and throw some music at you. And yeah, then I'm going to come back and I think we're going to, later on in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to rebroadcast part of a conversation that I had with New York Times and Bay Citizen reporter Gary Shee about the San Francisco mayor's race. Yeah, get to that in a little bit here. Meanwhile, I'm going to throw some music at you from artists that are going to be performing at the Harley Strickley Bluegrass Festival this coming, October 1st and 2nd, and I guess it's also extended on to Friday. I just found out today that it's going to be a freaking full-on 3-day festival. The Friday day that's usually just a handful of bands is now going to be going from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. with 4 stages going, so it's a... Yeah, the Harley Strickley Bluegrass Festival is continuing to grow and take over San Francisco. So let's see. Maybe I'll start on the more Harley side of the bluegrass spectrum here. Here's one of the bands playing Gomez and something from their great album Bring It On. This is a track called Get Miles on League of Pissed Off Voters Radio. And allow me to pause momentarily while I get over to another story. I'm going to check out something from Rebecca Bow at the San Francisco Bay Guardian for her perspective on the protests over at the BART protest on Thursday. She was another one of the journalists who was detained there, along with David Morris, who we spoke to by phone earlier in the show. So. So here is here's Rebecca's Rebo's reporting on that, the San Francisco Bay Guardian. You can find this at sfbg.com/politics. And she says that a September 8 protest called to test the limits of the Bay Area Rapid Transit Agency's policies on freedom of speech inside BART stations ended in a cluster of protesters and journalists being corralled by nightstick-wielding BART officers, detained, and in some cases arrested. The station was shut down at around 6 p.m. when police surrounded a group of demonstrators who had marched around the unpaid area of the transit station, as well as a group of media who were following them with cameras and video recorders. It was unclear at press time just how many arrests were made, but it is clear that things did not go as planned from the perspective of either the protesters or the transit agency. As the demonstration got underway, one of the No Justice, No BART protest organizers, Christopher Cantor, told reporters, quote, "We are here to test free speech limitations at BART, but more importantly, we are here to say we don't trust BART. We don't trust BART to protect us. We don't trust BART to interpret the Constitution." He also said that none of them were there to get arrested. Before the banners and bullhorns came out, BART spokesperson Jim Allison told The Guardian that if BART police deemed a gathering inside the unpaid area of the station to be dangerous, quote, "we would ask people to disperse, and if they did not disperse, we would declare an unlawful assembly." Allison said protesters were free to exercise their First Amendment rights to protest inside the areas of the station that don't require a ticket to enter. He said people could do that as long as they were not interrupting or interfering with regular service. When The Guardian caught up with Allison after the protest by phone to find out why his statements about the dispersal order were contradicted by police activity, he refused to answer our questions, directing us instead to watch a press conference on the BART website. "I'm going off duty," he said after calling The Guardian in response to a page, and a quote said, "I simply cannot devote the rest of my night to answering your questions." So things heated up when the protesters got closer to the fare gates, at which point police may have determined that the protesters were interfering with service. At one point, police tackled a mass demonstrator to the ground. However, when people were detained, they were not standing directly in front of the fare gates. Police did not make any public statements indicating the situation had been deemed unlawful before surrounding the group of detainees, nor did they issue a dispersal order. We were told that we were not free to leave. While I was detained along with Luke Thomas, a reporter from the Fog City Journal, and freelance reporter Josh Wolf, an officer told us that we were being detained on suspected violation of California Penal Code 369-I, which prohibits interfering with the operations of a railroad. However, Matt Gonzalez, chief attorney with the Public Defender's Office, reported that that law contains an exemption for, quote, "there was an exception to the law which, quote, does not prohibit picketing in the adjacent area of any property, unquote, belonging to a railroad." So it seemed that the protesters, along with more than a dozen journalists, were being unlawfully detained. When we put this question to one of the officers who stood holding a nightstick and blocking us in, he refused to address the issue directly, repeating that we weren't free to leave. So, yeah. Scary police state tactics going on down at the BART. And, yeah, I guess scary police state tactics and maybe a little bit of savvy PR tactics at closing the BART station unnecessarily to create more ill will towards protesters and deflect attention from the BART police's crazy ways. So, yeah, this is League of Pissed Off Voters Radio. I'm DJ Spider with you here every Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., talking about local San Francisco politics and culture. And I think I'm going to get back to some music here in a minute. Take a little break with some more of the bands coming up, the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival, and then listen to a little bit of my conversation from a few weeks ago with Gary Shee of the Bay Citizen, the New York Times. First, how about another public service announcement?
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today.
This public service announcement has been brought to you by Mutiny Radio, the only place where the apocalypse is not happening.
Well, that's good to know. I didn't realize the apocalypse wasn't happening at Mutiny Radio. But as long as it isn't, you should come on down here at 21st in Florida in San Francisco's Mission District. And, yeah, we're here till 10 o'clock, I believe. This is League of Pissed Off Voters Radio. I'm going to fade out the merman here and get more some of the getting a little closer to the bluegrass side of the Hardly Strictly folks. But still, I don't know, elbow length distance from it. Here's something from Jessica Lee Mayfield and her track Kiss Me Again on League of Pissed Off Voters Radio.
Got me where you want me, but I ain't all there. My head is gone, my brain is fried, and I'm standing right.